Hi and welcome to Home Education for All, or HEFA for short. At HEFA we believe that community is the heart of home education, and so that's what we built. We built a community in the UK, helping, supporting and uplifting each other to be the best home educators we can be. And now we're coming to you via this podcast too. Stay tuned for all things home education in the UK via our amazing, experienced, knowledgeable and often hilarious team. We truly believe home education can be for everyone, and we hope listening here will give you the confidence or knowledge you need if you've been considering home education. Let's dive in. Okay, so today on the podcast, we have the fantastic Lulu, one of our wonderful admins at Home Ed for All, or HEFA for short. And I just want to do a really short introduction, which is that Lulu is a Home Edder full time, and they live in the south of England. Hello.
Hello. Hi.
Hello.
How are you doing? All right.
I am doing really well, thank you. So the aim of these first set of podcasts that we're going to be doing at HEFA is to get a real feel for what home education looks like for a lot of different people. Mm-hmm. So I've kind of volunteered you all in admin as tribute to the podcast and making you all tell me about your home ed lives. So what I'd love to know, first of all, is how long you've been home educating.
Okay, so we've been home educating for exactly 1 year. It was a year ago today that I went to the school trembling with my deregistration form, breaking down in my car and just sobbing my heart out thinking, what have I just done? What have I just done? It's hard. It's really, really hard because you can't let them stay in the toxic environment that they were in. But then you're thinking, how the heck am I ever going to meet their needs? I'm going to fail them. I'm going to, you know, what resources do you have for doing this? You have none. You know, all you're driven all you know is school. You go to school, you are led to believe that this system is the only system that you should go through. You just don't know about what other alternatives there are, because obviously people want to keep you in school. So yeah, 1 year ago today, it was a scary, scary moment.
Yeah. So number one, congratulations.
We made
on
it.
A year of home ed. That's a really big deal. How do you feel about it now compared to that trembling mum who kind of, you know, went in and then broke down thinking, oh my god, what am I doing?
I feel a lot more relaxed now, and I feel a lot more confident now, only because of the group. I don't know what I would have done without them. Honestly, I was a wreck, but with their help and support guidance, I just managed to take each day as they came. We sat down, we wrote out a list of pros and cons, staying at school, staying at home. Obviously, the home was by far better. And by taking it day by day, we've made it to the year landmark. And yeah, I couldn't have been more proud of my son, really. Couldn't be more proud, because we're a team as opposed to... Because I think when you deregister, you think, it's us against the world, kind of, you know, because they couldn't do it. They couldn't make it right for my son. I'm gonna make damn sure that I don't fail my son, because your children are everything to you, you know, and you want them to survive. You want them to thrive. You want them to flourish somewhere and learn in an environment where they feel listened.
Exactly. Can I ask, what is it that actually brought you to that point of having to kind of, I get the impression you had to deregister.
Yes, we did. So my son was diagnosed with ADHD the year before, and it was never flagged up in school that he had ADHD. All the reports, oh, he's, you know, he doesn't, he's not very attentive, he loses concentration, and, you know, well, like kind of all these red flags. Not one time during a parents' evening did they ever think, oh, do you think you might have ADHD? And it was in lockdown where we were doing some work and we were trying to concentrate on, you know, they would give you the tasks to do over the day, and trying to educate him and keep him on track was a nightmare. Because yeah. You'd be like, right, come on then, let's get this maths done. And you'd be like, oh, what do you think golden bunnies look like when they're jumping around? And I'm like, okay, right, so let's just move this round and get back to the maths then. And they'll be like, you know, trying to sort of sit him down. And anyway, we took him for assessment, and yeah, he got the diagnosis. And then the school were just, in knowing that he had the diagnosis, they weren't able to meet any of his needs, so they couldn't let him have a couple of minutes just to maybe get up and walk around the classroom. They just expected to sit in the seat, to listen, to be attentive. Well, without the drugs, he just couldn't do it. And we had meeting after meeting. They promised the world, they never delivered. And you get trodden down with the amount of times that the empty promises that they give you.
Yeah. It's tough, right? It's tough because, you know, we are taught that, you know, school is the right place for all children, that, you know, we can, you know, they can find ways to meet needs and find ways to accommodate and things like that. And that's not always possible.
No.
And ultimately, as parents, we're the people who are responsible for our children's education, whether they're in school or home educated. So while we can work with the school as best we can, and it sounds like, you know, like most parents who end up feeling that they have no choice but to deregister, you did all the work, right? You
fight.
Tried your best to work with the school.
You are fighting constantly, because when your son comes home and they are declining in their mental health, the meltdowns, the decline in mental health, the fact that he was having panic attacks, that the school was saying that they understood. Well, their form of understanding was, well, let's just get him back in through a phased return, basically just to get them back into the system. No, we've done it your way. It's not working. He had counselling from the mental health schools team. It's funny because as soon as we deregistered, all the symptoms just melted away. It's like they didn't even exist anymore. And I'm like, that's funny. just take school out of your life. It works.
By deregistering, it works, right? So, do you have just the one child or?
So I have three children, one 27, and then I have a middle child who is 15 now, and then my youngest, who I home educate, who is 12. And they all went to school, no problem with the school system. It's just my youngest. He perhaps never should have gone to school. I even had the primary school teacher kind of try and prove that he should have gone to school. He was doing his damnedest to prove that, yes, you made the right decision to send him, when my gut was saying, I don't think this is right. But you're led to believe, we'll help him, we'll get there, we'll support you. But I'm just thinking,
yeah,
not right.
how wonderful it is that you got to that point of, you know, trusting your gut and thinking, do you know what, even though, you know, you were terrified of, you know, what might happen home educating, mm-hmm. you knew that at least it wouldn't be, you know, like it was in school.
Yeah, absolutely. A child who's distressed is just not going to learn. If they're feeling undervalued, if they're not feeling listened to, if they're feeling stressed, anxious, doesn't matter what anyone says, whether at home or at school, learning is not going to take place.
Yeah. And actually, you know, that's such a good point, because I remember when, so I've been home educating for nearly 9 years, and it all started with my third born at the time. I now have four. And for him, it was very much that, you know, he couldn't learn in the environment at all. I, you know, was struggling with this school, trying to get them to understand that something needed to change to enable him to be able to actually receive an education. And eventually for me, it was when he saw CAMS and, you know, they said, actually, this child is so anxious and so stressed that it's just not possible for anything to go in their brain right now. At which point we deregistered, and you know, he's now a very happy, healthy 14-year-old. And my youngest never went to school because I'm not anti-school. My 15-year-old is at school.
No.
But for the youngest, I saw a lot in him that I was like, I don't want to see that disappear. I don't want to see that kind of, you know, pushed out of you, that beautiful, amazing interest and awe at the world. Mm-hmm.
It's crushed out them at school.
yeah, it can be. Do you have a particular home ed style that you follow?
Okay, so when we first started, it was a case of, you will do English, maths and science, and then I'll let them have some free time in the afternoon. And largely we stick to that, but it has changed. And I think as you get more confident, as you work out, I mean, I was Googling learning style, what kind of learning style you as your child, and filling out all these forms, like, okay, you know. And I suppose I was like trying all different types of learning styles, because, you know, I was new to it. I'm thinking, what can I do for the best for my child? So let's do something with our hands, and we haven't done anything academic today, so we better get the workbooks out. So, you know, it was me kind of, and my anxiety flitting from one thing to another. But in the end, it was him who's like, but Mum, I find this really boring. If he's finding it boring, he's just not going to learn anything.
Yeah.
So it's, I think it's a case of trusting your child and what they want to learn and in the direction that they want to go in.
I love that. And it is so important, because, you know, we're often told and given the impression that we need to know what we're doing straight away. Otherwise, you know, these kids are being failed in some way. And actually, so often, you know, we might start with something. A large majority of home educators, when they deregister, they start with a structured routine, because that's what we know, right? And, you know, we're also led to believe things like autistic people thrive on routine and thrive on specific ways, you know, and all of those kinds of things. And actually, we're a completely neurodiverse house, and we found very quickly that that was actually really stifling. And the only reason those routines helped my children was because it helped them to know what to expect next in a very difficult situation.
Right.
So, you know, for the listeners, you know, it doesn't matter what style you're using. It doesn't matter whether you have started with something and then felt like that's not working, it doesn't mean you're doing anything wrong. It, in fact, actually, I'd say that it means you're doing it right.
Right.
Because, you know, you're trying something and then you're going, oh, okay, on reflection, my child is not doing well with that. Or
yeah.
my child
yeah.
is doing really well with that. So let's do more of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And as you go further down the road, that thing that was working perhaps won't anymore. And you have to be flexible. You have to say, okay, so this isn't working today. Let's try it this way. Let's throw that away for the moment. Let's turn 180 and give that a go and see how we get on with that. And I think it's the biggest key is just to be flexible and not be like, no, we, and not be so staunch about it. Don't be, we are doing this. We are not budging. This is what we're going to do. We need to take each day as they come and see where, you know, is your child feeling a bit low? And assess, you know, how they're feeling. Not just carry on regardless. That's, you know, we need to be able to work on the relationship. And I think then the education will develop from out of that.
Yes.
If that makes any sense.
It does. It makes complete sense. You're so full of wisdom, by the way, Lulu. I'm like listening to you and I'm like, yes. So many nods. Have I embarrassed you now? Sorry.
No, I'm always used to these compliments, as you can tell.
For those of you listening, Lulu just covered her face because I complimented her. But it's true. For somebody who has, you know, had such a huge learning curve in 1 year, you know, going from that tearful mum who was shaking and feeling like they had no other option to this person who is just, you know, giving out the wisdom. You know, I hope you can see how far you've come in that year.
I think so, but I think when you do look back, you do think, crikey, I've done it. But while you're doing it, you don't realise what you're doing.
Yeah.
And it does take a lot of effort. But I, particularly the first 6 months, I was like, oh, the night before I started, I was like up till two planning lessons. And you've seen what that's gone out the window. And we say, right, what do you want to learn? What do you want to do today? Where are your interests today? And I'm taking the onus off myself and kind of just being there for him in the background. Okay, so you want to do this. So how do you think you might be able to find this? Should we have a look on Google? Should we have a look at YouTube? Should we look at video together? So it's being more conversational. It's, and like the word facilitator, it's so true. I felt like I've gone through a style of, I'm leading the way to put my son at the front and say, well, I'm actually going to follow you now. And like, we've had a role reversal where, okay, let's see what you want to do. And I'll
work out how you can do that. You know, how I can help you do that.
Yeah. Rather than what I think you should be learning.
It's such a beautiful, it makes me quite emotional, I'm not going to lie, to hear parents, as those of you who know me on the group and things, you'll know that I'm a big advocate of autonomous education and, you know, children leading their own education. I'm going off of the questions that I gave you, but one question that I do have is how has it changed your relationship?
I feel like we are a lot closer. I mean, we were close before, but I feel like we are working together and we are able to, our communication is different, you know, kind of. I think that's actually quite a difficult question to answer, because how do you measure? And I think it's just that I know his mannerisms now. I know that I can pick up on things more, and we're just more gelled as a team rather than, you know, I used to pack him off to school and see you later, see you this afternoon. But I think we're a lot more comfortable in each other's presence. And I wouldn't change it. I wouldn't change it at all. Not at all.
Because it is tough, isn't it, home ed? You know, it is tough and there are challenges. But like you said, you know, even through those challenges and through those tough bits, especially and most of the tough bits, for I think for us parents, is doubting ourselves rather than anything to do with our children.
Definitely. Definitely. It was always me trying to get the school system out of my system, thinking it's got to be done this way. You've got to learn this. It's so much more difficult for parents than ever the child to get their head round. And I feel like I was a stumbling block half the time. If I just let him just do what he wanted to do, then maybe we would have got to a groove much earlier. And you think, oh, God, I've done it again. I've stood in the way of his education again. But we're getting there. Honestly, we're getting to a place where I'm more relaxed, he's more relaxed, and just much more positive and hopeful for the future.
I know that you know, the national curriculum, for example, that is held up as the gold standard, right, of what children should be learning about for the 12 years that they're in compulsory education. Now, what a lot of people don't realise is how old the national curriculum is. The national curriculum is younger than I am, and I'm nearly 40. And we created the national curriculum to standardise education, to make sure that children had, across the board, children had the opportunity to gain a minimum level of education where it could platform them off into other spaces. And the people who decided that curriculum, you know, I don't even know who did actually design the national curriculum. It's been redesigned many times. But when you think about it like that, you know, the curriculum that is held up as this gold standard is younger than we are. You know, it's not a, you know, tested and proven historical, you know, curriculum that proves something. It's very much an experiment.
Yes, we are led to believe that it's something that we should definitely be learning about, that it should be integral to everybody's education. And yet, you know, I was reading this book, I think it's Changing Our Minds.
Oh, Naomi Fisher.
Naomi Fisher, what a ledge. And she was saying that, you know, all children are given the same education, but all of them are going to be at different levels and pick up different parts. Some may not understand, some may understand half of it, some may, you know, understand all of it. But, you know, being at home, I feel like what I'm doing with my son is I'm giving more of a tailored education, something that he will have interest in. And it's almost like you are a tutor. You think of privately educated children, that's a privilege. And I feel like I've got the privilege of educating my son. And I don't know if you would say you had a privilege me educating him, but I know that he's happier at home than ever at school. But having that quality of time with your child to nurture them in the way that they want to go, it is, I'm going to say it again, but it is a privilege to lead them in the way that they want to go and feed them in that area. And if he was at school, he just wouldn't have that opportunity. So
it's,
and goodness knows where he'd be right now.
It's just amazing. Is there anything you wish you knew when you started?
I think I wish I'd known Heifer, because at the time I was not out with Heifer. It just started, and they've been a lifeline, an absolute lifeline. It was the fact that when I deregistered, I felt so lonely, and I thought, I'm going to have to do this all on my own. And it was members of the Heifer group who said, you can do this. We've got you. We've got your back. We'll support you. And they, it felt like they took my hand and they scooped me up and they just said, you can do this. We will help yeah. you. And it was just the best.
That's beautiful. Is there a particular kind of biggest challenge in your family regarding home ed? Like past or current?
I think it's really important to look after each child. For example, you spend a lot of time with the child that you home educate. Sorry. And I think particularly with my middle child, she may have felt a little bit like she doesn't matter. Yeah. You know, a bit kind of, well, all the attention goes on him. What about me? I know I go to school, but so, you know, we make sure that we watch films together. We make sure that we have time for conversation. But it's, I think sometimes you see it only from your perspective. And I think it's important to see it from your other children's perspective. And for them to think, well, wow, mum spent a lot of time with my brother. What about me? And I think it, you need to make sure that they have their needs met as well.
Yeah. And, you know, that is a really important point because, like you, I have children that are home educated and I have children in school. And for me, it's slightly different because all of my children have been home educated and one of them chose to go back to school. Because they made that choice for themselves, it has that different energy to it. Still, regardless, you know, it is important. You know, she can get upset if the boys have started watching a particular series because they couldn't wait for her because they're impulsive. And then she's like, that's exactly. not fair. You know, just because I'm at school doesn't mean you get to do that. And it's a really valuable Absolutely. Learning experience for all of them. But yeah, we do make sure that we have our programs that we watch together and we have our stuff that we talk together about. The boys know that, you know, from about 3 o'clock until 4 o'clock, don't ask me for anything because my daughter will be info dumping her day on me. Because that's what she needs to do to be able to get out of school mode. And, you know, she comes in the kitchen, she closes the door. The boys know what that means. And, you know, we make sure, you know, either I'm cooking dinner and chatting with her or she needs my full attention and we're just sat chatting. But she has that every day as much as possible so that she has that same one-to-one attention and presence that her brothers get throughout the day simply because of how it's set up. But yeah, that managing and balancing everybody's needs in the home, you know, is a challenge, right?
Definitely.
Finally, final question. What is your one top piece of advice that you would give to the people listening? You know, it can either be for new home edders or it can be, you know, people who are starting to find their feet, whatever it is, or it might be for people who are considering home education too.
I would say two golden nuggets would be, don't panic. Just don't panic. You're with Heifer. They've got your back. They get you. They know where you've been. You will be scared, and that I think that's a normal. We need to normalise that scariness because it's a massive thing. It's a massive thing to home educate your child. So, but don't panic because we have got a fantastic team at Heifer who can support you. And just listen to your child.
Yes.
Just listen to them because they will tell you what's working. Don't push something which isn't. Don't push a square into a round hole because it's just not gonna go, is it?
It's not. And you know, sometimes we sometimes we have to work that out for ourselves when we suddenly realize we're trying to push them into that hole and they're square. But
and it's just not working.
It's just not working.
And you just think, oh, for goodness sake, why don't I just listen? I mean, because everyone says it on the group, just listen to your child. Just, and you think, well, I don't know. School don't do this, and that's normal, right?
It's normal to make your child do something they don't want to do because it's for their own good. That's what we're taught. You know, especially when it comes to education. But actually, as home educators, we often find that we have the flexibility to be able to understand that our child does need to become literate, for example, but it doesn't have to be done in specific ways that enable that child to then feel like they hate reading or hate writing or, you know, don't want to communicate things because they know they're going to get asked to expand on it. you know, all of those kinds of things. So, yeah, like, I've completely missed the point of what I was trying to say then because my brain has gone, woo, off into another little world.
So it's like the one piece of information which I've completely blown out the water with too. So sorry about that, to make it a bit more complicated. But I think it's so important as a parent, don't panic. And as the child, just let them lead you and be there, facilitate, support, bolster them. The confidence is the key to where they need to go. You know, for example, you know, when he deregistered, his confidence was so low. And then yesterday he said, oh, I might do some year 9 maths. Well, he's only in year 8. And I'm thinking, yeah, okay, so he didn't get a lot right. He didn't get hardly any right. But the fact is, the progression is that he's got confidence now. He's got so much more confidence now. He would never have done that at school. But here he is. He's actually given it a go. And to me, that is worth more than anything, you know? Just having a go and feeling inside, I feel good enough to fail. Because I think a lot of children have that, oh, but what if I get it wrong? What if I fail? You know what? That's okay. The fact is that you're giving it a go is enough for me to go, you're on your way.
100%. The only reason we've got some of the inventions we've got is because inventors failed at least 100 to 1,000 times before they found the thing that they wanted to do, but they kept going.
Keep going. Keep it going. Absolutely. Keep on, you know, just keep on putting your one foot in front of the other day after day. And it's such a cliche thing to say, isn't it? But it's just that drip, drip, drip effect of keeping on.
Yes. Thank you so much for coming to talk to me today.
Thank you. Honestly, it's like, I can't believe I'm doing this. It's like, really me? But it's lovely. Lovely to have met you as well.
And it's just a lovely little marker for you. You know, that it's a year today since you deregistered and you're now on podcasts, you know, helping and advising and supporting other people on their journey. So congratulations, well done, and thank you again for joining me.